Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. Ticker tape parade type of thing, and both of them are standing through the sunroof of a limo. It reminded me of like a Tom Hanks Big movie or whatever, like waving at crowds.
If I hadn't seen it, I would suggest you were making that up, but that happened.
No, they were doing that.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Vince, do you remember this guy?
Lucky guy. That's all I'll say.
Right?
You know who that is, right?
Indeed, I do.
Dr. Joe Gao, former chancellor at UW-La Crosse, removed from his position because he and his wife posted pornographic videos on porn websites.
To do the kind of work that you do, you know, you got to be in great shape and have a lot of stamina.
Oh, yeah, you do. Today starts a two-day hearing. What? What? Okay, fine. I mean, do we have it? We might as well.
Play it. Come on, G.
There it is. Okay. That's what you're waiting for.
Yes.
All right. Well, so today starts a two-day hearing where Gao is going to fight for his faculty position. So this isn't to get the chancellorship back, but he's a tenured faculty member of the staff there. He wants to teach again, and he's going to fight for that.
We're thrilled to have the one and only Will Pounder on
that
our show.
He doesn't call any witnesses like that. So we caught up with Gao. And we talked to him about his interest in returning to the classroom and, of course, that other stuff as well. Say everything works out for you and you're back teaching again and, I don't know, Will Pounder or someone texts you and says, hey, Joe, let's do another video. What are you doing? Are you posting more pornographic videos with your wife and with others?
Well, I can guarantee you that those folks would not be reaching out to us. I mean, we're old over the hill and all of that. So I don't see that being a real issue.
But would you post more videos or you think no?
I mean, we're not chomping at the bit to do it.
Just want to make sure that we're clear on the point, though, Professor Gao, that would be if UW were to say, okay, fine, you can stay here and it works out that you can continue on the faculty, would you commit to no longer posting pornographic material? Or are you saying you would still be open to that and that would be your intention?
I think that we would want to retain our right to do what we do in our personal lives on our own time with our own money. I mean, I don't know whether that would involve more videos, but certainly I'm not going to say we're ruling that out in exchange for me keeping my teaching job.
So the hearing starts today. It goes for a couple of days. We could know, we may not, but we could know by the end of the week whether or not he gets to teach again.
And then even if they say he can't, he has an appeals process as well.
Right,
so I feel like this won't be done, but we could have that initial decision by the end of the week.
So
More.
Yes. What would he teach? And everything else that you need to know about Joe Gao will play at 6:50 this morning on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Brewers flash in the leather on the West Coast. Their seven-game roadie continues tonight, coming off a dramatic finish in Anaheim.
McGill again. Ready to go. Checks his runners. 1-2 pitch. Fly ball right center. Back Frelick on the warning track. Leaping and he caught it! It's over! Sal Frelick up and over the yellow line. He robs a homer, and the Brewers end up winning this ball game by a final of 6-3.
What a call. What a call.
Jeff Levering, friend of the program.
Mm-hmm. What a
on
play.
The call here at 620 WTMJ. Yeah, there were two men on, bottom of the ninth. That would have tied the game against the Angels in the ninth. Instead, the crew closes it out, wins 6-3. Manager Pat Murphy on Sal Frelick.
If Sal's near it, it goes in his glove, you know, 99.9% of the time. So,
and he was near it, but just barely.
Yeah, he got it, though.
He's about a foot over the wall,
yeah.
If you look at the replay. Brewers and Angels again tonight. 8:38 first pitch here on WTMJ.
Baseball legend Willie Mays passes away at the age of 93. To football, when will quarterback Jordan Love sign? Well, the ball likely in the Packers' court now, as the Love camp sits and waits for a little bit more money. This after Trevor Lawrence signed a new deal with the Jaguars. So Lawrence agreed to a five-year, $275 million extension, and includes $200 million guaranteed. So ESPN's Adam Schefter tells ESPN Milwaukee that he expects Love to want more than what Lawrence got.
The discussions is the deal that Trevor Lawrence gets done with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that deal doesn't help Green Bay. That deal helps Jordan Love because the average comes in at 55, and breaking news, I don't believe Jordan Love is taking less than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he says if Love had signed earlier, the Packers probably could have got him for 53 or 54. Now he says he expects Love to want more, a tick more than whatever Trevor got.
Coming up, dueling approaches on immigration. You have the former president, Donald Trump, here in Racine yesterday talking about the real-time actions taken by President Biden on immigration. We'll break down each side coming up next on Wisconsin's Morning News. Former President Donald Trump addressing the alleged horrible city remark and reports that he's not even planning to stay in Milwaukee when he accepts the party's nomination for president at the Republican National Convention next month. More on that in a moment. First, his rally at a sun-soaked, hot, and humid festival park in Racine.
Thank you very much. Wow. Oh, and you know, I love Milwaukee. I was the one that picked Milwaukee, I have to tell you.
Did he, though?
No.
Wasn't that decided a long time before he was even,
right,
certainly well before he was the presumptive nominee?
Technically, that can't be true. But.
Former president accused of saying Milwaukee is a horrible city in a closed meeting with Wisconsin Republican congressional delegation.
And I think you had about 10 congressmen in a meeting that we had recently where I said how much I like Milwaukee. They all came out. They said, that's what he said. We can't help it. And they're truthful people. But I just want to begin by saying, hello, Wisconsin. Hello. Great state. We've had great success here. It's great to be back in this beautiful state.
About a 90-minute speech. He was on stage full suit and tie.
Wow.
In the sweltering heat. A lot of speeches preceded him as well. You had former Governor Scott Walker was among them. Vivek Ramaswamy, whom you remember was one of his GOP contenders.
Now, is he still trying to be a VP? Is he still?
Maybe he is. I don't know. Trump had him.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a there. I don't know that he's decided. I mentioned the report that he's not planning to stay in Milwaukee in July for the RNC. He did address that. But first, the one big piece of current events news that former President Trump spoke on. President Biden on Tuesday announced two new executive actions on immigration. One would allow some who came here illegally to apply for lawful permanent residence and in some cases remain here while seeking U.S. citizenship. President also announced some undocumented immigrants like those brought to the country by parents who crossed the border illegally, often referred to as dreamers. He would streamline their pathway to citizenship.
Today, I'm announcing new measures to clarify and speed up work visas to help people, including dreamers, who have graduated from U.S. colleges and universities, landed jobs in high demand, high skilled professions that we need to have grow to see our economy grow.
So former President Trump called it an illegal action and suggested it's a ploy by Democrats to just get votes.
We should not be talking amnesty. We should be talking about stopping the invasion instead. This is an invasion of our country. We have to seal the border. We have to let people come into our country, but they have to come in legally. We have to send Joe Biden's illegal aliens back home where they belong. We have no choice. We have no choice.
So back to the issue of where the former president will stay when the Republican National Convention is here in the city. Report from ABC 7 News in Chicago that came out Tuesday citing a law enforcement source said former President Trump planned to stay in the Windy City during the convention and he would just commute back and forth to Milwaukee. And TMJ 4 News chief political reporter Charles Benson had a one-on-one with former President Trump after the rally.
There's a report out of Chicago that says you may be overnighting in Chicago instead of Milwaukee. Is that the plan?
Well, they have probably, they think, because I have a hotel there. I have a beautiful hotel there. Beauty, as good as it gets. But I'm staying here. I was always planning on staying here.
How about the post-game Celine Dion there playing in the background?
A little Titanic music. Yeah, well, huh.
How is that right. choice? So former President Trump saying he loves Milwaukee, plans to stay here. Look, you know I get easily offended about Milwaukee stuff, whatever. It wouldn't bother me, honestly, if he were to stay in Chicago. I think it's newsworthy to report.
You don't think that's a little strange?
I do think it's different, right? But how much time does the actual nominee even spend?
Good question.
Here, you know, at the convention site. So I don't know, but again, another piece that came out that he denied says he plans to stay in Milwaukee when he accepts that GOP nomination for president in July. Still no long-term deal between the Packers and quarterback Jordan Love. Who holds the cards in the negotiation? We'll do it in sports at 6:45.
North Korean soldiers in a goose-step march welcoming Russian President Vladimir Putin to Pyongyang. They've had a big party there. There's been a parade as the two dictators now meet in North Korea.
Two of America's fiercest adversaries together on North Korean soil. Vladimir Putin arriving in Pyongyang for the first time in nearly a quarter of a century, greeting the Russian president on the red carpet, Kim Jong-un. Talking animatedly, each leader insisting the other enter the limousine first.
No, after you. After you. That went back and forth.
Niceties on display.
So these two have met before, but this is the first time that Putin has been in North Korea since the last 24 years. It's been a while. And the idea is to send a strong signal to the West. The so-called axis of dictators is only growing stronger, says these two.
Amid concerns about their military cooperation, Russian leader Vladimir Putin and his North Korean counterpart Kim Jong-un have signed a new treaty agreeing to a comprehensive strategic partnership. Putin told reporters they agreed to provide mutual assistance if either are attacked, following their summit in Pyongyang Wednesday.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. That's Alex Jensen from CBS. So the idea of, hey, I got you, you got me. I got your back, you got my back. Curious to see how that plays out, if Russia is actually that interested in continuing to help North Korea.
No, right? Like, who holds the... I just mentioned a who holds the cards. Who holds the cards in this relationship, right? It's obviously Putin. He's going to take what he needs, which is ammunition and missiles, to continue the war in Ukraine.
It was interesting, though. There's this parade. They're pictures, they're ticker tape parade type of thing, and both of them are standing through the sunroof of a limo. It reminded me of, like, a Tom Hanks Big movie or whatever, like... waving at crowds.
If I hadn't seen it, I would suggest you were making that up. But that happened.
They were doing that. Just celebrating together.
Pretty good times there.
Sounds like it.
6:39, Wisconsin's Morning News.
Ooh, I bet you're wondering how I do.
Today is Juneteenth, a day honoring the emancipation of enslaved Americans. It's now a federal holiday. The markets closed today. That's Gladys Knight. She was among the entertainers who sang at the White House during a Juneteenth celebration earlier this month. It's going to be broadcast now, that event, on CNN. It'll be broadcast tonight. And 101.7 The Truth's Kyle Wallace, he was there, joined us for a quick preview. How was it?
Oh, I mean, it was fantastic. They had a lot of different acts there. I mean, just being able to see legendary acts such as like a Gladys Knight, a Patti LaBelle, a Charlie Wilson, a Anthony Hamilton, a Kirk Franklin. I mean, the production of it was very exciting, and it was cool just to be around a lot of people that were happy to be there to celebrate Juneteenth and the holiday for what it is.
So the White House invited you in there. Were you able to get some FaceTime with any dignitaries, so to speak?
We got FaceTime. We had opportunity to actually speak with some people from the Biden administration for the media that day that we were part of. But in the evening time, it was just all fun and play. And President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris were all the way up front in the exclusive seat. So I couldn't touch them, but definitely had an opportunity throughout that day to be able to ask questions about what the administration is doing here for the state of Wisconsin, but also focusing on the black community. What have they done for the black community to help uplift it over the last 3.5 years?
Now, is that a campaign situation where they're trying to make sure that they're going down the right lane and looking for votes type of thing?
I think it was a making sure people are knowledgeable of what's going on, right? They extended opportunity to many different media outlets across this country for an opportunity to find out exactly what they are doing. And we decided we wanted to seize that opportunity to be able to come back to Milwaukee and talk about what we learned, talk about the impact they have, but also talk about the work that still needs to be done in order to uplift our community. So it was just a tremendous opportunity for us to hear directly from the administration of what they have done, what they have planned, and talk to them about some of the pitfalls that we see in our community that we want help with.
And before I let you go, Kyle Wallace, so 101.7 The Truth, you guys can be broadcasting from Juneteenth celebrations all day today?
Yes, we'll be live from Juneteenth all day today, starting at 11 a.m. all the way to 3 p.m. We'll have different hosts all together hosting. So Dr. Ken Harris, who you hear every Sunday on Truth on WTMJ. And then we'll also have some guests stopping by, some political folks here or local. Also have some influencers as well stopping by. So we're really excited to be celebrating Juneteenth live from the 53rd annual Juneteenth celebration in Milwaukee.
All right, sir. Enjoy the day.
Thank you so much.
Kyle Wallace from 101.7 The Truth. Big celebration today in Milwaukee for Juneteenth.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Brewers and Angels again tonight out west. Another late start and an exciting game Tuesday night featuring a Jackson Churio inside the park home run.
1-2. Ground ball inside the bag at first and into right field. Frelick motoring around third. He will score. Sanchez being waved home. The ball gets away from Adell in right. Sanchez will score. And Churio chugging around third. Here's the play at the plate. He's safe. Jackson Churio accounts for three. And the Brewers lead it 5-0.
Yeah, Lane Grindle on the call here on WTMJ. Now, the Angels were charged with an error on the play. Right fielder kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't always say booted it. He just had trouble getting at it.
So you know, it wasn't a Little League home run?
Yes, it was not technically a home run for Churio. He went around the bags in 14.7 seconds.
That's crazy.
All of them. All of the bases.
That's crazy.
It is the fastest time this season. I'm not sure I make it to first in 14 seconds. Right? Brewers also got some great defense. Sal Frelick robbed a home run to finish the game. He was a foot over the wall to steal that final out. Brewers went 6-3. They finished the series against the Angels tonight before moving on to San Diego. 8:38 will be the first pitch. Brewers manager Pat Murphy reacting to the news that baseball lost one of the all-time greats, Willie Mays, 24-time All-Star, passed away at the age of 93.
Growing up, you know, I'd be in the backyard, and my brothers, we were from New York, so my brothers, would, one brother would be the Yankees, the other brother would be the Red Sox, and I'd be the Dodgers or the Giants. If I was the Giants, I was Willie Mays, and, you know, what an icon in our game.
Yeah, Mays, one of the first African-American players to cross the color barrier and play in the major leagues.
Who's got all the leverage in the quarterback Jordan Love extension deal? Packers and Love still talking about a new deal. It looks like, according to Adam Schefter from ESPN, that Love's got all the leverage right now. That's because Trevor Lawrence, quarterback for the Jaguars, signed a new deal with the Jags. 5-year, $275 million deal. It's $55 million a year, and he says Love's going to want more than that.
So if the deal had gotten done, let's just say a few weeks ago, I could have seen that number being 52, 53, and now I see that number being north of 55. Not much north of, but north of 55. And by the way the deal is also structured and set up is not favorable to the Green Bay Packers and what they were hoping to do.
So we'll see if Love demands $200 million guaranteed and a little bit more than 55 a year. But either way, the longer this sits, we've talked about this, the longer you wait out on this, the more money Love's camp is going to ask for.
Do you grasp these numbers, though?
No.
Like, I hear they use $50 million. I'm like, all right, sounds like a good deal. $60 million, sounds like a good deal. No. I don't know. They're going to sign them. They're going to figure it out, and we will report that to you. Coming up, Porny McChancellor is going to try to save his job at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. He talked once again to Eric and me. We'll play you more highlights of that interview next. WTMJ Forecast, sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Warm and humid today, partly cloudy with a chance of isolated storms this afternoon and evening and a high of 88 degrees right now at 77 in Milwaukee.
Yeah. A lucky guy, that's all I'll say.
Right?
Dr. Joe Gao, the former chancellor at UW-La Crosse, who was removed from his position because he and his wife posted pornographic videos of themselves on porn websites, is now going to fight for his job. Today starts a two-day hearing where Gao will fight for his faculty position. He's not going to be able to be a chancellor again, but he's looking just to be a tenured faculty member so he can teach.
We're thrilled to have the one and only Will Pounder on our show.
So we did catch up with Dr. Gao, asked him about his interest in returning to the classroom.
Be a member of the faculty at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Would that mean you are in the classroom teaching in fall? And like, what classes do you offer and would you teach?
Well, that's what I hope happens, and it's not clear whether it will, but I certainly am very eager to get back into the classroom, and I taught for many years, not when I was chancellor, but prior to that, I taught for 18 years, and I taught topics about technology and its impact on society and the media and how they change and the economics of regulation. You know, there's been so much that happened since I was last in the classroom. I'm very eager to get back in there and talk about that. And I've been reading a lot of books and keeping up with new developments. And I will acknowledge, I mean, I don't know that, you know, there might be some students who would be reluctant to take a class with me, and that's fine. I think there are many others, based on what I've heard from students, who are eager to see me in the classroom and want to take a class. And what I will do is straight away say, I know there's some awkwardness here and there's some controversy. Let's talk about that and make sure everybody's comfortable and then get on with the teaching.
Are you still posting videos, you and your wife, on porn sites?
No, we haven't made a video since last summer. So that's something that, you know, we're trying to assess where we want to go in the future.
What would you have done differently if you could go back?
Boy, that's really a challenging question. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the pandemic when we had to manage through that. You just sort of, here it is, and you do what you got to do. So I don't know that I would do anything differently. I just regret that the regents didn't take a moment, or system leadership, to say, can we have a way out of this that's not so shocking in public?
Talking with former UW-La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao, he has a two-day hearing that begins later today. Another question for you is, do you feel like, or do you recognize that, whether you agree or disagree with their takeaway from it, you did bring some national embarrassment to the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse? Folks across the country had a chuckle at your expense, at the system's expense. And again, I appreciate that you don't think that's the right reaction, but nonetheless, that did happen.
Well, it's interesting. This is 2024, and we just have the ability. All kinds of people are aware of all kinds of things and can interpret it however they want to. I think by and large, people are now saying, okay, really, what's the issue here? And it comes down to important First Amendment issues and free speech issues. And that's something that's very serious for everybody. And so I think really, rather than say that the university has been embarrassed, I think the university has the opportunity to show that it is on the leading edge of free speech and expression. And that's something that everybody likes to talk about, that and say they're all for it. And they're all, but really, when it comes down to it, are you willing to go out there and say, okay, this is something that's controversial. Nonetheless, it's protected by the First Amendment, and it's protected by the universities of Wisconsin's commitment to academic freedom and freedom of expression.
Have you heard from friends in the adult film industry since this all broke in late December?
There are a few people that have been from that industry who have been in touch with us. I think that the biggest group of people are people that we used to work with. It's amazing how, and they're very supportive. They say, we just really don't like what the university's doing to you. I think there's a climate, frankly, of fear, particularly at my university, UWL, that people just can't speak up in support of me because they know Big Brother's watching.
Oh, so when you say work with, you're talking about folks at La Crosse?
Yeah, there, okay. And then other places that we have been in the past. I worked at several other universities, and I've heard from a lot of former students. Carmen has too. She was a psychology professor, and they're very supportive. And I guess there's just this small group of people that tend to be in the elite who are saying, oh, this is just terrible. And that's the group that I need to say, hey, are you for free speech or not?
say everything works out for you and you're back teaching again, and I don't know, Will Pounder or someone texts you and says, "Hey, Joe, let's do another video." What are you doing? Are you posting more pornographic videos with your wife and with others?
Well, I can tell you that those folks would not be reaching out to us. I mean, we're old, over the hill and all of that. So I don't see that being a real issue.
But would you post more videos, or you think no?
I mean, we're not chomping at the bit to do it. We did have somebody that's a woman who has a production company, and it's a website, and it's erotic material for women, created by women. And she said, "Hey, would you and Carmen want to do a video with me directing? And, you know, it'd be very upscale." And that's intriguing. You know, it's nice to reach an audience. I mean, you think of adult video as mainly guys. It's good to think that there are women out there who are interested in us.
Just want to make sure that we're clear on the point, though, Professor Gao, that would be if UW were to say, okay, fine, you can stay here and it works out that you can continue on the faculty, would you commit to no longer posting pornographic material, or are you saying you would still be open to that and that would be your intention?
I think that we would want to retain our right to do what we do in our personal lives on our own time with our own money. I mean, I don't know whether that would involve more videos, but certainly I'm not going to say we're ruling that out in exchange for me keeping my teaching job.
That's Dr. Joe Gao, who starts a two-day hearing today to keep his faculty position at UW-La Crosse. Could even find out by the end of the week whether or not he gets to teach again at UW-La Crosse.
And there's more.
Oh, yeah. A lot more.
More of our interview with Professor Joe Gao at UW-La Crosse. That's coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning.